A62. Number 11B.
Idea of fulfillment. Love is fulfillment. Now, what does it mean if we speak about the fulfillment of mind? Or mind's fulfillment? Is that just any kind of fulfillment? Yes?
When an idea is created, it is already fulfilled.
And an idea is created, it is already fulfilled. Why doesn't that have that to do with love? And it is fulfilled. Why isn't it the fulfillment of love?
Why isn't it?
Yes.
It already has a plan. It is already fulfilled. Yeah. And it is created.
Yeah. But my question is, what is the fulfillment of mind and not the fulfillment of love? Don't let you be sidetracked by my questions, you know. I just try sometimes an answer out, if you are really sure what one says. So you're on the right track. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. You're on the right track. But we want to bring it out nicely. What is the fulfillment of mind? And you said it's the fulfillment of an idea. Because ideas have to do with mind. But every idea has its fulfillment. Every idea. And that we call the fulfillment of love. So you would have to, to specify what is meant by the fulfillment of mind. Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't have intervened. Yeah. Tell me the negative. Yes, yes. Do illusions fulfill themselves? In a negative way, they do. You get it right back. Yes. Yes. What do you feel about the fulfillment of mind? I'm sorry, I should have left it at that. It was very good, actually. Yes. I only want to know, are you quite sure what you say, you know? Because if you have a fulfillment of mind, it must have something to do that it is mind that fulfills itself and not something else. Not the fulfillment of human desires, not the fulfillment of human wishes, not the fulfillment of human ambitions, of human concepts. You see, it's all about the conceptual sense that has to be fulfilled. So, naturally, you did take the highest, namely idea, that's why it was good, but I wanted to try it out if you not knew what you meant. Therefore, the great point is that we would like to have our own desires to be fulfilled, that we would have our own thoughts to be fulfilled, our own concepts to be fulfilled. We want things to fulfill the way we think about it. Here you think about it. That's the counterfeit of mind. See, all that has to be counteracted through the fulfillment of mind, capital M, which where mind says, I have an idea. Where mind says, I have an idea and I am only going to fulfill my idea, nothing else. That's what you want to say, you see. I'm not going to fulfill what you have in your thought, what you are driving at, what you are planning out, what you are outlining. This is your mentality. You want the fulfillment of your mentality, of what you have in mind. Can you see that? This is terrific. So, the fulfillment of mind, capital M, says only ideas can be fulfilled. See, it doesn't so much say that an idea that comes, that is created and is born, that takes identity and is going to operate in the realm until it finds its fulfillment in love. That's not what is meant by it, you see. That's the word order. Huh? Whereas the fulfillment of mind is just say, oh, I don't want anything to be fulfilled that is not coming from mind. That's all. Huh? That's all. I only want that to be fulfilled, which is mind's own idea. Full stop. That's already enough. Huh? Yes? We have the fulfillment of spirit. When would we talk about the fulfillment of spirit? Yeah? Oh. Yes.
To be the fruits of spirit, not of matter.
Yes, yes, yes. You see, what is the nature of that fulfillment? Is matter being fulfilled? Are material things finding its fulfillment? Or is it spiritual things that find fulfillment? Because usually in the world you feel there is only fulfillment if it is a material fulfillment. Everything material fulfills itself. Money-wise, housewife, house-wise, not housewife. We have enough money, we have a beautiful house and everything, huh? And a big business and things like that. It's a finding, really, material fulfillment. Whereas Christian Science postulates, really, spiritual fulfillment. That spiritual things fulfill themselves. No matter how much matter we get or how much matter is taken away from us. It's the spiritual alone that should fulfill itself and can fulfill itself. Yes? Now, if we go to the next one, fulfillment of soul. Oh, yes. Yes, was this the fulfillment of soul? When would you see that? Very easy. Yes?
Would you be the opposite of material sense, fulfillment?
Yes, yes, all right. So if you had any situation or a patient that comes to you and this morning that all that what that patient would like, huh? In the way of fulfilling all the joys, material joys, material happiness, material sense, goody-goodies and so on, which is a natural thing in the world, that one likes to have the fulfillment of that. And as it doesn't work, so one would have to teach and show that actually only soul has its fulfillment, that nothing can reach fulfillment except that which is based on soul sense, the senses of soul, that finds alone fulfillment.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, what about the fulfillment of principle? Just a moment, yes, please, yeah.
Personal
demonstration. Yes, we are not speaking about demonstration, but about fulfillment. But you say what the personal fulfillment may be, Yes, a personal demonstration. Let's think clear about it. Yes?
Well, I was just thinking of personal fulfillment as a belief in the world.
Yes.
For us, for people to find fulfillment,
yeah,
that it's personal and that it's often at the expense of other persons.
Yes, yes. Very good, So it counteracts that sense of a personal fulfillment, either at the expense of other people or not, Yes. But the main point is that your personality or your personal ambitions are being fulfilled. Huh? What you have set out to do personally is being fulfilled. So that we must see, oh, it's not what we personally can achieve is necessary, but what is right from the point of view of principle, that must be fulfilled. This is a great point, naturally. I'm glad we did take that idea of fulfillment, because it seems that this concept of fulfillment has so many wrong connotations in the world. Yeah? So this is the fulfillment of principle. That alone, principle fulfills itself. Yeah? Which means that all personal views about what should be fulfilled has to be given up. Then we come to the fulfillment of life. Life fulfillment. Huh? In one word. Life fulfillment.
Materialism.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Materialism. Is that an idea of life? Yeah. You know, there is something about it, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because life is always that which is willing to lay down the mortal, the material. Huh? Yes. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy would call it always under life the ghost of materiality, huh? That materialism, huh? as an idea of life, which would show it's the laying down of the material sense of life, which has to be achieved, or else life finds no fulfillment. Yeah. So the prerequisites of life fulfillment is actually that we lay down a material sense of life, and a material drive of life. Huh? That whole sense of vitalism, I don't know if you know the term vitalism, which says that there is only fulfillment in using all the vitality that one has. Whereas the true fulfillment of life is actually just the opposite, namely laying down all that which seems to have life in matter. Yeah. We come to the fulfillment of truth. Oh yeah, fulfillment of truth. When would you use that? Huh? You have a court case. The one says, you are a liar and I am saying the truth. The other one says, you are the liar and I am saying the truth. Both want to win the case. Huh? Both want the fulfillment of their case. Well, the fulfillment of truth would be that the truth is coming out in that case, that the truth would be fulfilling itself and not the lie, that not the one who is in the wrong would win the case, which is very seldom the case. Very often it's not the case, huh? And that's the struggle that usually goes on. Yeah. Which brings us to the end of this exercise. Huh? So we have done all those 7 by 7, and in a way I feel that somehow you got into the swing of it. Would you say into the swing? Yeah. Yeah. So we leave it at that, this exercise number B3. But you think about it, and especially now with this background, I think it should be possible now to fulfill that assignment number one much better. The assignment number one was what? You see, it was saying, culture your tonality, over and over again by reading quickly in a flowing way through all the statements of mind and then of spirit, and reading through, say, all the statements of mind, if one is not aware of the blendings, naturally your tonality gets blurred instead of crystallizing more. Can you see that? I'm never quite sure if I am explicit enough, you see. I can see that if you say, all right, I want to culture my tonality of mind, and you take your books where you have marked whatever your books are on mind, and you read it through, just for the one purpose, to listen what is mind, and you come along a passage that says God is all power, and that power is mind. And something in you says, oh yes, power is mind. And you come to another passage where it says that the law of mind counteracts every other law. You see, yes, it's power, it's law. And you come to another passage where it says that the action of mind will set the right everything. And you have a feeling, oh yes, mind is power, and it's action. And then you come across the intelligence of mind, that mind is all intelligence, you build it up. And then suddenly you come to a passage where it perhaps says that the system, that thought build up now. That everything operates in the systems of mind. Huh? And then you say, all right, it has to do with system. And you're off. You're off the track. Huh? You don't see in that passage at once that this is a combination. Huh? You read about mind and the system of mind, and you lose your tonality. Yes, is that clear? See? But if you see in that sentence that it has to do with the system of mind in order to counteract the system of medicine, for instance, then you are not listening to the system of mind, but to the medicine of mind. And then you don't blur your tonality. That's why it's so important to be a master in reading the text when there are combination, to be able at once, when you read the sentence, to be able at once to detect, is it intrinsically the synonymous term, here mind, or is it the combination? If that art is not developed, you see, that art is not developed, then all this reading is of no avail. It only bewilders you. So that the whole all the time and effort you would put into it would be of no avail. Would be even worse than before. Yes? Is that clear? No?
Are you saying that you've got to change a combination into an intrinsic?
No. Just to be aware that it is a combination. Therefore, not to be sidetracked by the other ideas, a system of mind, not to be sidetracked by system, but to see why does she use mind. And she will use mind there in order to offset the counterfeit of mind, like medicine or so, in the text. Huh? Actually, one should do it with actual references in order to show it better. Huh? Or say you go through spirit. Do we have more time? Yeah? Say you go through spirit, perhaps there it is better to show it. You want to go all through the references of spirit, just in the flow. And you read about, perhaps at the beginning, in the first chapter, about all the spiritual qualities of spirit and the gratitude of spirit. And without gratitude of spirit, you are ungrateful and you get the sense of gratitude, and then the adorable one, and you have a sense of the of spirit being the adorable one. Perhaps in the next chapter you hear something about the substance of spirit and the purity of spirit and the reality of spirit, and suddenly she speaks about the law of spirit to offset matter. There you have funds to know. Spirit has nothing to do with law, but spirit has to do to offset matter. So that is the tone. Spirit matter. And you drop through the filter. You let it go through that which is not intrinsic. But how could we drop all that is not intrinsic if we would know the combinations, when it is a combination? Yeah. Did I put this now in a better sense? So that very often actually we learn intrinsic ideas of spirit, the birth of spirit, the order of spirit, the substance of spirit, and then a lot about counteracting its opposite. Spirit, the law of spirit, counteracting the laws of matter. You have perhaps the power of spirit over matter. So you leave out power, but you have spirit over matter. And in this way, you strengthen your sense of the of spirit. Yes?
Actually, you've got three key words there, law, spirit, and matter. In fact, wouldn't it, say to the writer, Mrs. Eddy, wouldn't spirit have been the last factor? First she had matter as a problem to overcome, and she knew that she, in this instance, she had to have law. So those are the first two elements. Wouldn't spirit then be the third element that would be the result, because it was matter that was being outcome?
Yes.
In a sense.
Yes.
The spirit was the third element, not the first in that case.
Absolutely, yes. 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 Though she would not explicitly state the law of matter, but perhaps just say the law of spirit over matter, because she cannot always say everything, and therefore we have to, by inference, we have to say, oh yes, she means that matter has a law. Yeah? Say, the power of life, over death, or the law of life destroys death. There is no indication that she says that death is a law, or death is a power. It's not verbally expressed. But it's meant. It's meant. Why is it meant? Because she uses for life, for death, she uses life. But she gives an attribute, so to say, to life, and says, the law of life, the power of life. She wouldn't need to do that. She could say, life overcomes death. Finish. See? She doesn't need to say, the law of life to overcome death. The power of life to overcome death. She could just say, life overcomes death. Full stop. You see? But then, naturally, she can say, behind death, death is nothing per se. It is a claim. Death is a claim. It claims what? It claims that it is a law. It claims that it is power. It claims that it is irresistible. You see? So that's what we have to see. That through that adjective, or that, how could you say, that power of life. She brings out, actually, that death says, I have power, without stating it. We'll see that more when I introduce text interpretation next week. I want to spend quite a bit of time on text interpretation. You will see that we must read the textbook completely different than what we have been reading up to now. You see, that what one sees today is that meaning is always relational. There is no meaning in the word. There is no meaning at all in the word. There is only meaning when a word is in related to others. Then you can have meaning. So it's the relationship that determines meaning, not the word itself. So the power of life to destroy death, see, shows you without that it is spelled out, death has the claim that it is power and has power and is irresistible power and has... See, all that is brought out without saying it. Yeah? Okay, we'll see that next week about text interpretation. That's a big thing by itself. All right, we finished.